But it's good to be here. My message today is entitled Living in the Moment and Delayed Consequences. So living in the moment. Most world religions ascribe to one form or another of living in the moment, being present in the moment. Zen Buddhism calls it nowness. Christian scripture frequently encourages adherents to live for today. Hindu, Taoist, Judaism, Muslim, many other religious philosophies, they all introduce some concept of the importance of living in the moment. It's an important enough concept that some religions actually refer to it as practicing the presence of God. Now, there is great wisdom and value in living in the moment. When we hold on too tightly to the past, we frequently find ourselves in places of regret and guilt and despair. And when we take it to an extreme, when folks get particularly struck in traumatic parts of the past, they can find themselves suffering from PTSD, a particularly insidious mental disorder that can not only ruin your life, but can also have a very severe negative impact on the lives of those around you who care for you. Now, the flip side of this is living in the future, which comes along with its own set of issues. One of the primary issues of living in the future is worry. Christian scripture admonishes us not to worry about tomorrow. An old Buddhist proverb reminds us, if you have a problem that can be fixed, then there's no reason to worry about it. If you have a problem that can't be fixed, there's no reason to worry about it. Taoism would tell us that of all of our emotions, worry is easily the least useful. In fact, it's of no use at all. It serves absolutely no purpose. It accomplishes nothing and causes us unnecessary anxiety. And the time you spend worrying could be time spent solving the problem you're worrying about. The problem with worry, it would tell us, is that it focuses on an imaginary future instead of the very real present moment. And don't even get me started on what worrying about the future how worrying about the future can quickly become a self-fulfilling prophecy. As I said, in general, the philosophies of most religions teach us that living in the past and living in the future, both of them, are antithetical to living a healthy spiritual life. I, however, would like to take some time today to consider how living in the moment can be equally antithetical to a healthy rational spirituality, not to mention antithetical to a productive and intellectually earnest life. Now, frankly, I came about this consideration as I looked at the past presidential election. My personal observation, and that of many others as well, was that some people were being convinced to go against their own personal well-being. And frankly, it sort of baffled me. It's not that we haven't seen this kind of behavior before. It's just that this time it seemed to be more obvious that people were going against their own self-interest than ever before. Being that the movement was loosely defined as Christian movement, at least at first, if not more strongly later, I looked at Christian teachings to see if I could dig up some sort of clue. Trying to give people a benefit of a doubt, I actually considered whether or not they may be willingly sacrificing their own good for the sake of those in need. Now, I quickly arrived at the conclusion that line of thinking was probably incorrect. The folks that I was considering clearly seemed to believe that they were looking out for their own good, much more so then they might have been looking out for the good of those most in need. Ultimately, I'll admit, I abandoned altogether my search in the Christian world for an explanation and turned a bit to psychology and sociology. There, I did find an intriguing concept to point to some semblance of an answer, at least I thought at first. The concept was that of akrasia, A-K-R-A-S-I-A, akrasia. Essentially, it's the act of acting out against one's own best interest. Again, we're not talking about the noble altruistic needs that purposefully put others' needs before ours. Akrasia encompasses the irrational, confounding state of mind in which we wittingly throw caution, reason, and consequences to the wind in order to pursue a want or a perceived need. So let me share an example that I read from a person who reflects and writes extensively on behavioral psychology about what akrasia looks like. It's a real life example. By the summer of 1830, Victor Hugo was facing an incredible, impossible deadline. 12 months earlier, the famous French author had made an agreement with his publisher that he would write a new book entitled The Hunchback of Notre Dame. Instead of writing the book, Hugo spent the next year pursuing other projects, entertaining guests, delaying his work on the text, all kinds of different ways. That's akrasia kicking in. Hugo's publisher had become frustrated by his repeated procrastination and responded by setting a formidable deadline. The publisher demanded that Hugo finish the book by February of 1831, which was at that point less than 6 months away. So, Hugo developed this plan to beat his procrastination. True story. He locked all of his clothes up, removed them from his chambers, and locked them away. He was left with nothing other than a very large shawl that he could wear. Now, lacking any suitable clothing for going outdoors, Hugo was no longer tempted to leave the house, I would think, and get distracted in doing so. Staying inside and writing ultimately became his only option. The strategy actually worked. Hugo remained in the study each day and wrote furiously during the fall and winter of 1830. The Hunchback of Notre Dame was published 2 weeks early, January 14, 1831. But frankly, after reading that example, akrasia started sounding very much like just a particular form of procrastination. And procrastination was definitely not, in my opinion, what had motivated people to make the choices that went against their own best self-interest. If anything, these folks weren't procrastinating. They were actively pursuing their choice. They actually were very motivated. But, excuse me. But the story did point me towards a different consideration. I noticed that Hugo had set up circumstances that would motivate him towards a desired outcome that would be beneficial to him. He had set up troublesome ramifications in the present if he didn't make choices that moved him towards his desired outcome, which would put him in an ultimately favorable position. Now, it would be great if what felt unpleasant in the moment always led to unpleasant outcomes in the future. And if what felt positive in the moment always led to what would be positive outcomes in the future. If the world worked that way, most people would probably live very healthy and very happy lives. It turns out that what we're talking about here is something called delayed consequences, as well as something very closely related to it entitled unintentional consequences. And we'll get back to those in just a moment. But let's quickly flip back to the religious concept of living in the moment. Religious philosophies, at least in how they are taught, tend to be presented in a way that lack nuance. They tend to be rather simplistic and direct. There's plenty of good reasons for this. For example, teaching worry not about tomorrow is much, much easier to grasp and remember than don't get so bogged down in the future that you forget to pay attention to the things in the present, because doing so can lead to broken relationships and even depression. Now, let's add to the frequently overly simplified theological presentation of living in the present. Let's add to it the ever increasing need for instant gratification in the U.S. And then sprinkle it a little bit with the us versus them mentality that's so prevalent in American politics. In my opinion, what you end up with is the perfect formula for falling victim to the outcome of delayed and or unintended consequences. Unfortunately, as we noted earlier, frequently positive consequences in the moment don't necessarily lead to positive delayed consequences in the future. Frequently, quite the opposite is true. Like enjoying a delicious cream-based pasta dish now, complete with freshly baked bread and maybe a really nice cab salve along with it, and then having to deal with the weight and other health problems in the future. Or venting anger towards someone now, but having to deal with a damaged relationship later. Now, equally unfortunate, out of necessity, the lower part of our brain, our reptilian brain, is exceptionally good at living in the moment. As a matter of fact, that part of our brain, rooted in pre-self-awareness, is all but incapable of being concerned about yesterday or tomorrow. It's a here and now kind of creature, and it is frequently at odds with our more self-aware parts of our brains. Basically, to see if I can wrap this mini-spoke wheel together. Basically, the behavioral point of view, from the behavioral point of view, the reason people act against their best interest is not that they're unbalanced or willing to suffer future consequences, but rather, it is because they are unable to break free of the inner programming telling them that if their behavior leads to reinforcing positive consequences right now, then that behavior must be in their best interest. They believe that they are acting in their best interest when they're not acting in their best interest because they're not taking deferred consequences into account. Personally, I believe that the oversimplified presentation of the religious concept of living in the moment has been hijacked to reinforce that very kind of thinking. That's not only unfortunate, but it is dangerous. Now, I wrote this earlier, and I am convinced by it by the somewhat bewildered look on many people's faces. I'm not pretending that I have any solid answers here. Only the beginning of ponderings that might offer some understanding of the kind of challenges that progressives face. But for now, I would suggest that we may want to slightly tweak our teachings about living in the moment to take into consideration the impact of unintended consequences, particularly the impact of delayed consequences. Spirituality is a powerful asset in shaping the narrative of the society. It is not only imperative that we recognize that the place it has added to the false societal narrative, but it's essential that those of us who practice the progressive version of it make certain that what we teach has a positive impact on society that will aid in moving us towards a more just and equal society.